Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you so much, younger brother Anthony Dismute, for that introduction and those song selections. I really appreciate it. I'd like to say thank you to the elders for allowing me the opportunity to stand before you this evening and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know a lot of us that come and fill these shoes in the pulpit stand and give that exact thank you for the opportunity, typically because it's the opportunity to actually just stand before a crowd. But for me, I think it's a little bit more significant. I think the opportunity to actually grow. As a Christian, God has set a charge. Beginning in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, "Go into the world, preach the word to every creature." So I thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to do just that.
Yes, sir.
So for our brief time this evening, I would like to focus on our lesson on the topic of coaching. Many of you may or may not know that in my full-time job and part-time job, I serve in the capacity of an executive coach, personal coach, and a health coach. My role is to specialize in assisting my clients to transform their lives in the way of setting goals that they need to achieve, to in areas of leadership development, areas of health and wellness, and self-care. The International Coaching Federation defines coaching as partnering with clients in a thought-provoking and creative process that inspires them to maximize their personal and professional potential. In the coaching profession, I'm considered a thinking partner, an accountability partner, a motivator, an inspirer, overall, a health of resources for my clients to tap into. So, for sake of our discussion today, my role to you is a coach. So, just like I do with all of my clients during our first coaching session, you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
During our first coaching session, we set ground rules. So, ground rule number one, I want you to have your Bible handy. So, we will definitely be reviewing the scriptures, paving our way through this tonight's lesson. Also, I want you to have access to a writing utensil or a piece of paper, or some way of capturing notes. I know for myself, I use my phone a lot to take my copious notes, so please feel free to do that as well, but have something that you can capture your notes with. Thirdly, I expect full participation. And lastly, I would like for everybody to complete their homework assignments on time. You'll understand more as we go through our lesson. In the coaching discipline, we use a tool called question thinking. By show of hands, who in the audience has heard the art of question thinking? Anybody? Okay, see a couple? So the goal of question thinking, or QT, is to shift opinions and easy answers to curiosity, discovery, and exploration. What I love about that definition as it relates to our daily walk with Christ is we should always be exploring and discovering the scriptures and how they apply to us on a daily basis. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that every man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." What that says to me is that it would behoove us not to go down a path of exploration and discovery of the scriptures at every opportunity, so that we can increase in our faith, our wisdom, so that we may then become complete. During our lesson this evening, we will use the art of question thinking to help guide us going toward a direction to increase in our lives in areas where we may be lacking. So, I want you to reflect back on the various coaches or people that have served in that capacity over the course of your life. Take some time, lock it in, think about the different coaches. You may have done different sports, various extracurricular activities where you have had a coach. What about that coach made him or her so good? What are the characteristics or qualities that you would describe as a good coach? So, doing my own reflection, some qualities that I came up with when reflecting on various coaches that have been a part of my life and myself. They were strong. They were smart. They gave me a shoulder to lean on. They listened to me. They pushed me. They provided motivation and inspiration. So I would like to consider myself a good coach in most senses. But like any of the coaches that you have been accustomed to or been exposed to, and myself, because the human factor is introduced, not every good coach you had possesses all of the tools, all of the capabilities, all of the resources, or all of the qualities to make them perfect. No matter how good they were, how good they still are, they will and they did not fail. They fail in comparison to the greatest coach of all time, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By show of hands, how many of us would consider Christ to be a coach? It's a good showing. But I'm wary that there are a multitude of us that don't actually use God in our lives for his distinct coaching capabilities. So in the coaching profession, about 75% of the clients that I receive come from a reactive occurrence, situation in their life where they are, they've had some situations and they need to come back from it, they need to recover from it, so they react and they say, you know, I need the support and the assistance of a coach. While that's perfectly fine, we highly encourage the proactive response. As we all know, there's a laundry list of reasons why we should approach Christ daily to take hold of the awesome powers that he possesses. But for sake of our time today, I'm going to limit those to five. We're going to focus on those five characteristics of the greatest coach and why we should be using him in that capacity to assist us along life's journey. So, quality number one, his infinite grace and mercy. Grace and mercy are defined as a manifestation of favor and the disposition to be compassionate or forbearing. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 8, if you would turn with me there. It states, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. Ground rule number one, so make sure everybody has their Bible handy. Good to go. I hear those pages turning. So Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, the Bible states, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it is the gift of God, not the works, lest anyone should boast. And lastly, should turn your page over one to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, where it states, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Adversely, there are passages in the Bible where God did not necessarily extend the blessing or the gift of grace and mercy. If you would turn with me over to Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Brother Greg, if you would read for me the story beginning in verse 1 all the way through verse 10.
certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. He kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy mouth to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing those words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came to all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried their husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her.
That's an example where grace and mercy was not necessarily extended to Ananias and Sapphira. But I feel that many of us during our daily walk fail to reflect on the gift of grace and mercy that God has extended along the way, with the willingness to forgive and to extend compassion to one another. Would I be accurate to say that many of us treat each other the way Ananias and Sapphira were treated from God? We don't extend the same level of grace and mercy to each other. How thankful should we be that God extends to us that gift every day? So my question to you, homework assignment number one: in what ways can you strive to live your life in such a way that God's grace and mercy wouldn't be necessary? I'll repeat myself. In what ways can you strive to live your life in such a way that God's grace and mercy wouldn't be necessary? So these homework assignments are self-reflective. It's an opportunity for you to jot it down. You could do it during the sermon or after. But I do expect completed assignments. So quality number two is infinite wisdom. Wisdom is defined as knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with just judgments to action, discernment, or insight. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 states, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, and the Holy One is understanding. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Homework assignment number two: what strategy can you create in your life this week to gain more wisdom? What strategy can you create in your life this week to gain more wisdom? Quality number three, his dependability. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning of verse 7, says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Brother Greg, if you would read Hebrews chapter 7, beginning of verse 7. I mean, Hebrews chapter 8, beginning of verse 7, and carry on through verse 13. If you would all please turn to that as well.
For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for he shall know me from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And that he said the new covenant, he said that he made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
Homework assignment number three: What do you depend on God for? Adversely, what don't you depend on God for that you should? What don't you currently depend on God for in your life that you should? Quality number four, he always has your best interest at heart. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." How has God stepped up in your life to display having your best interest at heart? So my last and final point, the fifth characteristic or quality that we'll focus on for this evening, is God's winning game plan. The Bible has a multitude of stories where following his game plan resulted in victory. But we'll take a look at one. So we'll start, if you would turn your pages to Daniel chapter 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. And we'll go all the way to verse 23. Brother Greg, if you would read that when you get there.
"It pleased Darius to set up the kingdom and 120 princes which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find an occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled them together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live there all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree, that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of the king, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alter it not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of the king, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but making his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went into his palace, and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live well. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God."
That's a powerful story when you think about it. I know it's a story that we, a lot of those that have grown up in the church and may have not grown up in the church, we were exposed to at a very young age. But there's so many lessons that we could take away from that particular story. Right now in our life. In your own respective life, can you reflect on a time period where following God's plan and exercising faith in Him resulted in victory for you?
Yes.
Sure you can. I definitely can. Adversely, can you think of a time where your faith wavered? Things may have not gone so well. Things may have not worked in your favor. Have many of us ever heard the phrase, it's not your plan, sometimes it's God's plan? I hear it a lot from my mom. Why is that such a difficult concept to grasp? I have a few reasons, I think, my opinion. It takes patience, takes hard work, takes faith, takes resiliency, and above all, you're not in control. But in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Bible states, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience finish its work so that you may be mature. And here's that word again, complete, not lacking in anything. One of my favorite passages to reflect on during periods of time where my faith may waver, I may not be as strong, is Isaiah chapter 40, beginning in verse 31. And the Bible reads, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ultimately, God's winning game plan is simple. You hear the word, Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You believe the word, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who is not will be condemned. Repent, Luke 13:3, I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Be baptized, once again, Mark 16:16. And lastly, remain faithful for all the rest of your days, Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which are you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Ultimately, we all can attain victory by way of heaven and eternal life. As I conclude, I would like to leave you with these following questions to apply to your own self-reflection. So, homework assignment number 4, for those of you that are actually capturing that. The question is, how have you been taking part in the coaching that God provides? How have you been taking part in the coaching that God provides? Secondly, what's your strategy going forward to do more? And lastly, what obstacles can you remove from your life that will allow you to take part in the privileges that the great coach provides? What obstacles can you remove from your life that will allow you yourself to take part in the privileges that the great coach provides? Thank you so much for your time and attendance. Again, this was a great opportunity for me to stand up and grow. If there is any in the audience at this time that would like to benefit from living for God and would like to put Christ on in baptism, or if there is any that would like to come forward and ask for prayers of the saints, I encourage you to come forward as we now stand and sing.